together. And I got to talking to him again, and I asked him about how's his life with the Lord. And he said he had none. And that still grieves me. And I couldn't figure that out, because I knew him. How does somebody who knows the Lord, who has experienced Jesus Christ, who has given their life over to him, no longer walk with him? It not only baffles my mind, it tears my spirit. How can someone who sees God, who's gone through the experience that you and I have gone through, we've seen miracles happen, we've seen the Spirit of God rise up, we've seen the power of the Spirit, and totally unexplainable in the physical, we've seen it, it's God. And then they walk away. And he had a reason, these got a reason, everybody's got a reason, it's justifiable reason, so they don't go crazy, well, I did, and I didn't. And it all goes into their head. But it still baffles me how anybody can walk and breathe and suck up God's air and believe he doesn't exist. I mean, they try to tell us that nothing, in the beginning there was nothing, and nothing hit nothing, and they banged together and became something. It just doesn't jive. How can someone like you and me know the flavor of God, and then they no longer walk with him because of a thing of an incident? Well, he looked at me wrong. Well, he did this. Well, I felt this. Well, my brother died, and I cried out to God, and he died anyway. There must not be a God. God's not like that. God has the agenda. The Father has the agenda. That's why they call him Father. The King of Kings calls the shots. He has allowed us to go to him and ask him, but it's the King of Kings who calls the shots, and we need to understand. My little child can ask me, Dad, I want this toy. Please let me play with this new knife. It's a pretty new knife. Let me play with it. And I tell him no. And he can say he hates me all he wants. He can say, I'm no longer, you're not my daddy. Thank you. He can yell at me angry and say, you're not my daddy anymore. That doesn't change a thing. I'm still his father. And we see that with God, Almighty. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2 through 21. I ask that you look at that, but I'm gonna kind of skip around. It says, Paul said it this way. Steer clear of the barking dogs. I wonder what the real translation was with that one. This one says the barking dogs. Those religious busybodies all bark and no bite. All they're interested is in appearances. Does that look good? All they're interested in is appearances. Don't do that. You don't look good doing that. Knife-happy circumcisers, I call them. The real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work in his ministry. The real believers are the ones who the Spirit leads to work in his ministries, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from the keeping a list of rules. He says, but I want the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ and God's righteousness. Now, Paul says, I'm not saying that I have all this together and that I have it made, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. This is Paul talking, and me. By no means do I count myself an expert at all this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us to onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. That reminds me of Luke chapter 9, verse 62, when Jesus said, for anyone who puts his hand to the plow and decides to turn back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So Paul just kind of is in that same line. And jump over to verse 15. So let's keep focus on the goal. Those of us who want everything that God has for us. Now, he's not only talking to you individually, he's talking to us as a church. And you individually are a part of the body. And so please listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. That's who we are, what the Spirit of God says. We are led by the Spirit. Please listen to the Spirit of God. So those of us who want everything God has for us, if anyone has something else in mind, something less than total commitment, we're praying for that person, and God will clear his blurred vision. You'll see it. I love that. Now that you're on the right track, let's stay on it. When we say, then verse 17 says, stick with me, friends. Keep track of those things you're running on the same course and headed with the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths and other goals and trying to get you to come along. I've warned you many times and I'll say it again. Sadly, I have to say it again. All they want is the easy street. Doesn't that sound like American society now? All they want is the easy street. I don't want to let it be easy street. But those people hate Christ's cross. Their end is destruction. Now hear these things. Their God is their appetite. And they brag about shameful things. And they think only about the things on this earth. But there's far more to life for us. My brothers and sisters, we're citizens of heaven. There's far more than the world sees. And if I can interject, there's far more than sometimes we even see, that we even realize. Young people, you're growing up and you're moving into a world and there's going to be new beginnings. There's far more. That's just a thing to live through, to give you an opportunity to walk as the Spirit leads you. But life as this, as we have it now, that we've got far more things than this. It says, we're citizens of the high heaven. We're waiting for the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies of our own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same power for skill of which he's putting everything as it should be under and around him. Some tell you that the opposite is true. And some will tell you that just moving on. Some tell you that just moving on and living the life is just whatever feels good, do it. Whatever, wherever we can go, let's just do it. But you see, we're made of something different. We have vowed our life. We have given up our life. We have died to ourself. And we're living for Christ. And those aren't just words. That's for real. That means we've given up our own self-impulses, our own self-desires. We're citizens of heaven. That comes before Republicans, Democrats, independent. That comes before politics. That comes before Americans. We're citizens of the heaven. We're citizens of heaven. That's who we vow to be. And you can walk up as proud as we are of being our political stance, or as far as proud as we are of being an American, which I can be in there number one. I'm proud. I thank God I'm an American. But even more important, I thank God I'm a citizen of Jesus. And those are the things that run our life. That's where we go. That's our eternity. That's our eternity. North Korea's got bombs just looking at us and with their hatred of America. And who knows, one day on this earth America blows up. I don't know. But that's not going to change a thing for us. We will still remain citizens of heaven. There's a good restraint, and I hope that's a word for people who are in love with politics, who are people who are in love with themselves. And I pray I'm preaching to the choir, but the Lord has given me this for a message, and we're going to see it. And you know I'm usually all positive and flowers and stuff, but God's given me a message that we've got to hear. So please hear with your spiritual eyes. There's certain kinds of Christians or people who call themselves Christians that follow God, but they live for themselves. I want this. Well, I don't feel like it. boy, I really want to do this. I'm an adult now, I can do this. Even though they know in their heart it's offending the Spirit of God and God Almighty, who we love. We say we love Jesus Christ. We worship songs. Lord, I love you. And then we go do things that hurt his heart. I've been married for 36 years. Whoops, I did it. I'm glad y'all are serving me lunch. I might have not got it. I've been married for 36 years. And by the grace of God, she's been the only woman in my life. But I have been traveling, I've done so many things, and I've gone so many places in my work, in my this, that I could have done things that she never knew. Now, I know God will know, but one of the things, whether it's adultery, whether it's a theft, whether it's hatred, whether it's anger, there's a lot of things that I decide not to do because I know it hurts my woman, the love of my life. And as much love as I have for her, I don't want to hurt her. Not in purpose. Multiply that 100 times. The love of our salvation, the love of our spirit, the love of our hope, the hope of our existence, of glory, of all eternity, is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. We love him. He sees us. He knows us. Why would we want to follow our instinct, our own desires, just for a quick high? There's so many things of why we claimed and we said that we're going to die for self. We said that we're going to die for self. That it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. We've read that. We've claimed it. And that's a joy. That's a joy. Christians, people that call themselves Christians who aren't walking the Christian life, they consistently fall in and give in to their own sinful desires. The desires. Paul said their God is their belly. Now, he's not talking about their physical belly and their appetite in food. Well, sometimes that counts too. He's not only talking about the food. He's talking about the appetites, the things that we love to do. I want this. Oh, I want this. We're walking innocently. We're walking by, and we're walking, and I turn around, and I see a beautiful young lady. The mind goes, oh, and if I were to follow my desires, I know it would offend my God. And at that moment, I got to make a decision. At that moment, I got to make a decision. Any temptation. I see this really nice golden box. Nobody's around. Thank you, Lord. And I go to try to steal it. The temptation is always there. And I'll give you a hint. I like the 5-second rule. Guys, check this out because it really works. The thought pops in your mind. Poof. Could be positive. It could be the Holy Spirit. Could be the enemy. But it's pop, a thought pops in your mind. Give yourself 5 seconds. Whoa. Is this of God? Is this going to offend my Lord of Lords, King of Kings? Is this going to offend someone who I love? And you give yourself to breathe and then make a decision. No. We can be walking through the store and we have $5. And that's the last $5. What's that Jack and the Beanstalk where they sent him out with just 5 beans and that's all he had. And he turns around and he buys something out of impulse, this old cow. And he was supposed to do something else with this money. God has entrusted you with your paycheck, with your salary, with your money. You're supposed to do something with that. And God entrusts that in there. He trusts that you'll give a small percentage, whatever he puts in your heart, over to the Lord, whether it's 10%, 20%, 50%. God's going to put that in your heart and give it over to the church to maintain that. You've got the rest in your mind. You know what you need to do. You know which bills you've got to pay. But you see this really cool gadget. That impulse comes. Whoa. Look, honey. Give yourself 5 seconds. let that impulse fly, and then think about it. That really, really helps. Paul says, at the end of the day, their God is their belly. And at the end of the day, these people worship themselves instead of God. How do we worship ourselves? Man, God blessed me with a really great job. That means he wants me to have the best toys I want. And I'm going to go buy this, and I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And we buy things just to pleasure ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong. Those things are not necessarily bad in and of itself. But the Lord reminds us, seek first the kingdom of God. That is so important. You first seek, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? You seek first the kingdom of God. He'll give you all those other things, and I'll give you all the other things that you need. He says, don't worry. He says, but satisfying the body. Galatians chapter 5. Can you put that chart? Acts of the deeds of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, it talks about the deeds, the acts of the flesh. It doesn't say the gifts, it says the deeds and the acts of the flesh are as follows. Verse 19, sexual immorality. The table talks, I created this table and I compared the NIV to the Message. And it almost cracked me up, but it made such clarification, I wanted to show it to you. It says, and the deeds of the flesh, the deeds are the things that the flesh does. That's us doing it. That's us deciding and doing it. The first one he says in verse 19 is sexual immorality. In the Message it says repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. Sexual immorality, adultery, fornication. That's the stuff, the first one he brings out. And it was strange that the Message says repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, because that can even happen in a marriage where there's no love. These are the deeds of the flesh that the Lord is warning us against. Adultery, fornication. The Greek word for that is porneia. Isn't that interesting? That's where we get the word pornography. The word pornography is in the Word of God. It's the very first thing that Paul talked to the Galatians, don't do this. Then he says debauchery, the friendly and joyless grabs of hold of happiness, trying to grab onto happiness wherever you can. Worship, crazy partying and wild nights, usually accompanied by a lot of alcohol. Boy, doesn't that sound like every movie in Hollywood? Hey, let's go have a good time. We're going to have a good time. This is how you have a good time. You see, what I'm trying to point out, what Galatians is trying to point out, is this is how the deeds, the flesh, tries to make us happy. We want to be happy. We want to have a good time. We want to have joy. I want to have a good time. Today's my birthday. I want to have a good time. And if we look for the deeds of the flesh to give us this good time, we're doing away with the good time that God himself wants to give us. And we're going to see this. We're trading something from the Spirit. We're trading a fakeness for something for the Spirit. And we're going to see that next. Idolatry, those little trinket gods, the little worship of images of good little things, idolatry. Witchcraft, in the Message, it calls it magic show religion. It talks about magical spells, the occult forces, horoscope, superstition. Those are all deeds of the flesh. Yeah, I said horoscope and superstition. We don't believe in that. But yet, some will pick it up every morning, and if they say they're going to have, be careful, it's going to be a bad day, right away they claim that bad day upon themselves, and they're just looking out. When the Spirit of God says, we're free. Don't matter what happens with you, I'm going to take care of you. I don't believe in that. We get to a ladder, but we'll just walk around it just in case. And then we'll come back. What are the things that are in your spirit? One of the scriptures I'm going to share, I'm going to give it to you right now, but one of the scriptures I'm going to share later is a scripture that said that God tells us to judge ourselves. And that's one of the things we need in this in this society, is we need a parent up. We need to be our own parent. If you're older than 18, you need to be your old parent. So many times we get the young people, they turn 18, we say, okay, you're an adult now. And they don't know how to parent, because their whole life their mother and father has been parenting them and telling them what to do and what not to do, and what not to do and what to do. And now they're finally free. I can do anything. No, you're your own parent. And adults, we need to parent up to ourselves. We need to tell ourselves what's right, and we need to know, we know the truth. I'm talking to the Christians. We know the truth. We need to control ourselves. And he says, parent up. The Lord says, judge yourself, so I don't have to judge you. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, seriously, that's a blessing. If I'm walking in sin, and the Holy Spirit says, you're about to meet up with God Almighty, you're about to meet up, and when you get to this part of your life, I just have this amazing blessing for you that I want to give to you. I have an amazing blessing, but you're not ready for it yet. So I'm going to put in your spirit, you need to give this stuff up. You really need to give this stuff up. Now, we can say it's sin, and we can say, oh, well, God forgives sin. I'm walking in grace, and God forgives sin. Yes, that's true, but if you have sin in your life, and the Holy Spirit tells you to give it up, give it up. So we come walking in there, and the Holy Spirit tells us, and we can walk in, and he allows me to judge myself. And I can say, yeah. I know, but, and he's telling you, no, I, you know. The Holy Spirit says, I know you know. The Holy Spirit says, now what are you going to do? And it's up to us to give it up. Because if we give it up here, it's a lot easier than if we get it taken away from over here. You don't want God to bring, well, if he needs to bring it up in public and show everything and move to you and put it to everybody's attention, and if that's going to save your soul, he's going to do that. But he's saying to give it up here. He gives us a chance. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Well, let's keep on going. Fits of rage. Before that, I'm sorry, hatred. Discord. These are deeds of the flesh. Discord. Jealousy. Now, don't get jealousy mixed up with envy. I got that mixed up for so long. Envy is like when you see your neighbor has a brand new convertible and you want it. You want something somebody else has. That's envy. Envy is written in there in one of these also. But this is jealousy. Jealousy is when your neighbor gives your husband a ride around the block in his new convertible. That's jealousy. When someone's trying to take something that belongs to you. When somebody's trying to take something that belongs to you, that's jealousy. Envy is when you wish you had what they had. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, the message says, an impotency to love or to be loved. You know anybody like that? Do sometimes you get like that? Get away from me. I don't want anybody. Just get away from me. Not now. Get away from me. Anger, mode. These are deeds of the flesh. Factions, envy, drunkenness. Drunkenness is part of the deeds of the flesh. Orgies. So many times you think of sex there at that time, but orgies is just the constant desire of something that you want to do that pleases you. Could be food, could be shopping, could be driving, it could be gathering material things. These are all deeds of the flesh. Now, these are all things that we all struggle with. These are things that we all struggle with. One of these, I know you, we all have struggled with one of these things, but those are deeds of the flesh that are there to stop us from getting the glory of God that he wants to bestow upon us. See, there's people in the world who don't believe in God because they don't want to give this up. To them, that's their God. They don't want to give that up. But God is saying, I want to give you something much better. I want to give you something so much better. I want to give you the real deal. He says, I want to give you the real deal. You walk with me. You abide in me. If you walk in the light, I promise you to give you the real stuff. The real stuff. And that's where we are. Because every time we settle for the deeds of the flesh, we will get a temporary happiness. We'll get a temporary, it'll feel good for a while. I mean, admit it. It feels good. That's why they're so tempting. But it's a fake feel good. To get that 100,000 times over, that intense, real thing that you're searching for, seek it from the Spirit of God. You seek it through obedience. You seek it not through sacrifice, but through obedience. You seek it through listening to God. You seek it through reading the Word of God. We find it through hearing the words of God. Look what it says in the next verse, the next table, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. I think it's 21, 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "And the Holy Spirit brings these into our life, that the fruit appears." Now notice that we're about to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. These are not things that you or I can do. These are gifts of God. And when God gives the most perfect gift, it's full and eternal and whole. When God gives these gifts, it's the ultimate, it's the best. The first one he says is love. But the fruits of the Spirit are these. The first one he says is love. You know, true love, we cannot make happen. When I first laid my eyes on Blanca, I fell in love. I really did, first sight. You got to hear that story one time. I fell in love. And I thought I loved her like love can never be anymore. I thought it was the greatest amount of love anybody could ever have. And I asked her to marry me. I loved her with everything I had. And now that I look back, I was just probably in lust with her, or just maybe I really, really liked her. But it wasn't the love that I have now. Now, that love is nothing compared to what I have now. Because that love was the love that I created, that I made up in my mind, that I chose to do, that attracted me to her. But the love I have for her now is a gift from the Spirit. The love that you can have for others is only a gift of the Spirit. And he gives it freely to those who ask, are you having marital problems? Or kind of it's not like not clicking for you? Ask God for his love, to multiply that love. And it's amazing how you can be so in love, and not only with your spouse, but with your children, with your fellow brothers and sisters. Love just permeates out through us. Joy, an exuberance of life, the message says. Joy, peace, that serenity, the true peace, where we can say, like, you're floating on a raft down the river, and you go, ah. It can be like that every day with you, because that's a gift of God. God wants to give you that gift, but we've got to clean ourselves up. I'm not talking about salvation. You can't clean yourself up so that you can be saved. Only God can do that, and then he'll remove your sins. He'll let you know of your sins. He'll put your Holy Spirit up there. We react to the Holy Spirit, and we back away, and we repent, ask for forgiveness, and then we're cleansed. Don't get that mixed up with what I'm about to say. What I'm saying is that now that we're saved, we're walking in the Spirit, and if we fall down to the deeds of the flesh, we're giving up the very essence of what God wants to give us. We're going to see that in Paul. Let me finish up this. Kindness. Goodness. Having a good thing. Faithfulness. Being true to your word. You being faithful, me being faithful, being true to God. I said it, I'm going to do it. Integrity. These are things that God gives. Gentleness. Not needing to force our way through things. I gotta do this. Dog eat dog, bite eat bite. No, it's God who promotes you in your workplace. It's the spirit of the gift of the Spirit that promotes you in school. self-control, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. How's your self-control? You see, you're your own judge. I'm not judging you. Nobody judges us. I'm not judging you. I'm asking you to judge yourself. How are your things, your life going on? Are they full of the deeds of the flesh or the gifts of the Spirit? If you don't like where you're at, God gives us an amazing, so easy way out. Because he already brought it to attention. As I've been talking about these things, he's been bringing thought to your remembrance. Things that we can repent of. But it has to be a really, truly heartfelt thing. I'm sorry. I repent. You see, God tells us to be transformed. To be transformed. None of us here are perfect. And I'm right in there. I'm a human being like anybody else. These thoughts come to my mind, and I've got to fight them. I'll count to five, and then I'll make my decision. And sometimes it's wrong, sometimes it's right. And if the Holy Spirit pours it on my heart that it's the wrong thing to do, right then and there, Holy Spirit, I know, because I know, that the Holy Spirit way and God's way is truly, really, seriously, the only positive, fantastic way there is. You want to be the best you can be? You want to have the most excellent things? You want to have the best that there is in this life to give on this earth? Here, listen to the Holy Spirit. So he will tell you, and then you turn it aside and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Hope I didn't mess up. Lord, I repent. I'm going to turn away from the sin, and I ask you forgiveness, my Father. See, when the Holy Spirit pulls these things up in our heart, we've got to do something about it. We've got to. That's what the Holy Spirit is there for, to remind us, to tell us. Do you have that baseball diagram? I can't remember if I sent it in or not. If you can just picture a baseball field. You got first, second, and third base. You hit the ball. What you're supposed to do is go to first. You can't just round about first and go on to second and third and rush home and think you have victory, a home run. That's not the way it works. First base is repentance. The first thing we need to do when God convicts us of a sin, when the Holy Spirit tells us of a sin, and again, I know it's somewhat uncomfortable, but this is what the Lord's doing out of love. He's calling us because he wants us to be holy like he's holy. He wants us to get the best of the best of the best. He wants us to have the best of the best of the best. And there's no way I'm going to give my child the best hamburger that she craves for when her hands are still dirty. I'm going to ask her to go wash her hands, and then he'll give us the best of the best of the best. So first base is repentance. Repentance. We need to repent and let God know that we are repentant. That, Lord, I realize I've come to the understanding this is not right. This offends you, my God. I am sorry. And we repent. Touch first base. Now I take off to second. Second base is I'm going to turn from my sins. The next step is to turn from my sins. I've got to turn from my sins. That's a sinful thing that I'm doing. The Holy Spirit, let me realize it. I turn from my sins. I touch that base. Then I go to third base, and there's forgiveness. God will forgive me by the grace, for his grace he's forgiven me. Now I can come back home plate into the victory righteousness. Now I have victory. But if I fail to repent, I know, Lord. And I run over to second base, and I'll turn from that sin, but it's really cool doing this. And then you go to that, Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me, Father, forgive me. You know, God's grace is so amazing that he will forgive you. But you run home, and you expect a home run, and that's not victory. There's no true victory. If we didn't touch repentance, if we didn't touch turning from our sins, God's gracious enough to forgive us for that sin, but there's no victory. Is it clear? Let me say it another way. I had two trees. Well, I got a bunch of trees in my yard, but I had two particular trees. I call them sin trees. Y'all call them the gum trees, I think. They give these balls of spikes that, So I said, I didn't like those guys, so I cut them down. I cut them both down. One of them, I got the stump, and I cut it way down, and I poured stuff in there, and I killed that stump, and I killed it. And then a few months later, I go over there, and that stump is dead as the doornail, but the other stump, I chopped that off. Lord, please forgive me for this sin. Zam! Boom! Falls down. There's no sin. But the roots were still there. And it kept growing. It would grow bushes. And I'm saying, how can this dead stump grow? It's a dead stump. I already asked for forgiveness. And it grows and it grows. So I get the knife and I cut all the fruits away and I cut all the everything that everybody can tell that this is growing so that it looks like it's dead. So if somebody calls me to it, now it's dead. But if they see something green come out of it, they're going to say it's alive. So I got to cut all that green and I cut all the effects and all the ramifications of this sin and all the horridness and the ugliness that comes from the sin. I try to hide it, but if I don't kill the roots, it grew back again. And I chop it off. Are you hearing me, my brother, my sister? Are you hearing me? You chop it off again. You can do everything you want. If those roots are still there, there has not been that repentance. There has not been this turning away from sin. And the forgiveness has to happen over and over and over again. Well, I thank God that he'll forgive me 70 times 7. Okay, so he forgave me. But that's not the deal. That's part of it. That's a major part. What we're interested in is the victory in home base. True victory. True strength. True victory. That's what God wants for you. God loves you. God loves you. He's prepared the best of the best for us. He's already got everything, the best that you can possibly have. He's got it. He loves you so much. And he's allowed us to judge ourselves. I believe we're on a path, and I'm about to close. I believe we're on a path that God is speaking to us directly. And I think we all know, anybody that's been here a while, knows the situation we've traveled through. But God has always been with us. He's given us hope. He's given us vision. He's given us strength. He's providing for us in all that we need and have. By the way, he's got a pastor set out and set aside. We just got to find him. And as far as that effort, by the way, parenthesis, the pastoral committee has gotten 11 resumes. We've put the majorium aside that after thoughtfulness, prayer, concern and prayer, and reviewing and prayer, and reading them and prayer, these guys were just not fit for us. And we came out, we're with two candidates, we're expecting with more resumes. So before we show you the candidates, we've got some more resumes coming, but the progress has been made. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you so much for your prayers. The fire has been lit. The ball's moving and God's working in his time. So I praise God for that. He's got, yes, amen. I praise God for that. So it's been progressing. I'm here, but what we're talking, so he's grooming us. He's grooming us and he's getting us ready. Now we are a church, his bride. Now people have left this congregation that we're supposed to leave. God had them and moved them to a new season and a new step of life. May God bless them. He will. He'll continue. Some people have left and they were not supposed to be. And they're struggling because they haven't been able to find the right church. And they're not going to find the right church because God has them here. Pray for them. We love them. Pray for them. May God bless them and show them the way. And when they step back into this building, we're going to welcome them with open arms and loving heart because we love them. So pray for them because they're in a situation where God's dealing with them. Pray for them. There's other folks that have decided to stay here and support the ministry and go no matter what, and it's not about us. Remember that other sermon that we talked? It's not about us. It's not about, well, I think that I should be in this. I think that I want this. I think that I want that. No, it's what does the Lord want for you? That's going to be the best thing there is. That's going to be the best thing there is. And I praise God and I thank each and every one of you for listening to the Word of God and for staying here. But God is grooming us and He's taking us to another place. Today's message is simple. It took me 30 minutes to say it, but it's simple. You know what sin is. And if you don't, the Holy Spirit will tell you. Remember how Paul said it? If you don't have that vision, don't worry. God will give it to you. The Holy Spirit will tell you. I don't have to tell you what sin is. I'm not going to tell you you shouldn't do that and you shouldn't do this. That's not my job. The Holy Spirit will tell you. And when He does, I implore you. I ask of you, please, if it's so temptation, so much, count to five. And during those 5 seconds, let the Holy Spirit just envelop you and obey the Holy Spirit. Because when you think you're giving up a good time, you're going to have an amazing, fantastic time that Holy Spirit's going to give you. You think this is going to help you rest and help you sleep and help you rest? Let it go. He's going to come over here and He's going to give you the peace and serenity and the rest, the best rest, best night you've had in years. God always gives you the best, but you got to let go. And God is so loving that He'll tell you that ahead of time. Check yourself. Judge yourself. If there's something you need to repent for, touch first base. Step on it twice. Make sure everybody step on it good. Then go return from your sins. Step on it good. Then come for forgiveness. And then we come over here and true, true grace. The love of God, forgiveness. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. We're going to have